Hey, welcome to the Lifetime Athlete. I'm your host, John Zombro. This is episode number 101, and today's title, How to Simultaneously Achieve Peak Performance and Maximum Health. The Lifetime Athlete is the home of Hard to Kill, the Hard to Kill workshop, and that's coming up on February 29th, and it's a real great opportunity, a really great opportunity for all of us to explore how to become stronger, faster, more durable, and more mobile in order to die late in life, die in a relatively healthy situation, and fairly rapidly with minimal complications. That's really the goal, and also what we all deserve, as opposed to being weak, slow, stiff, fragile, and dying too soon in life in a state of prolonged sickness and in an extracted, prolonged way propped up by a flailing illness care system. We don't need that. So thanks for being here with me today. It's really my honor to talk about these things. I want everybody to embrace that inner athlete that is living within them and nourish it to the highest capacity and also make you hard to kill. If you'd like more information about how to become hard to kill, simply go to thelifetimeathlete.com and click on the menu item, Hard to Kill. It tells you all about the workshop and all the goodies that go along with it. So thanks for giving that consideration. Hope to see you then if you can make it. And if not, there'll be more things coming out along that line in the future. So how about a little brief information about today's title? Again, that's how to simultaneously achieve peak performance and maximum health. This is such a commonly occurring question, as well as a debate in many health and athletic circles. A lot of experts feel that you just can't have top performance capacity and ultimate wellness, that they just don't go together. But I think that depends on how you interpret the terms and their applications. First of all, let's define, for our purposes, the two terms in that title. Peak performance is maximum output in any measurable capacity. It could be strength, speed, or endurance, but it also includes cognitive tasks, daily life habits, and emotional intelligence. It's a representation of full potential realized, and it's contextually applied to every individual in each unique situation. Health is the attainment of optimal function in our total being and across all its systems. This means that everything is operating as designed without problems. Heart rate, blood markers, and other indicators align with, or in most cases, exceed norms. A healthy person looks and feels great and is the epitome of a life in balance. Inflammation on average is on the low side of normal. Lifetime area under the curve of insulin is low. And longevity is predictably higher than an unhealthy individual. Regarding the interaction of activity, exercise, and training with peak performance and health, I've got to put some truths out here. This is because a few folks will be ready to push back on some of the messages I'm about to deliver. They can be loaded, cocked, and locked with excuses about why they can't be awesome. They're pissed. And I'm here to assure and reassure anyone that, oh yes, you can be a lifetime athlete and accomplish these things. So being highly active can get you most of the way there with health. That is true. But you won't max out your health unless you do a little bit of specific exercise. Tough love, but let's own that. Next, unless you take your exercise and turn it into training, you will never achieve peak performance. These are hard facts, but we've got to find a way to celebrate them and rejoice in training for ultimate human athleticism. A vigorous life is a gift, not a punishment. And sure, we all will have times in life when we have to endure and times are tough and we persevere and we suffer. But there's growth in that. And that's what really being a lifetime athlete is all about. So first of all, the key in training is prioritizing recovery. You may ask, what is recovery? Well, it's a process and more than just the passage of time. This is an opportunity to share some more R words. Recovery is how our bodies restore, repair, regenerate. reset and ready for not just the next workout, but for life itself. What we eat, how we sleep, the situations and the environment we live in all affect recovery. And also the things we do or don't do, such as the use of heat and cold, compression garments, meditation, breathing techniques, all have potentially great effects. When we talk about recovery, we want to talk about the concepts of overreaching and overtraining, and maybe explain those a bit. So overreaching is really the art, and I mean that it is a true art form of occasionally pushing the body just a little bit to create a stimulus for change or gains, in effect, adaptation. Now, overtraining is the lack of art, and it's the ugly side of applying too much stress, too quickly, too often, without adequate recovery. The human beast is durable, adaptable, and made to be stressed. So not all stress is bad. I mean, I think we've talked about that on the show before, and hopefully everyone appreciates that. These bodies and minds that we have are made to be used and challenged. They rot and stagnate if we don't stimulate them. That's a point worth emphasizing. You don't have to be a bubble boy or girl to stay healthy. It's good to push yourself once in a while. You just have to be intelligent about it. Recklessly going Tasmanian devil or beast mode in every workout, or applying a moderately high grind to your training, is eventually going to become unhealthy, unproductive, and possibly life-shortening. There's a limited amount of truth in the statement that you can get away with doing those things when you are young. In reality, a model like that still represents unintelligent training, but a youthful body, again, we can maybe even take chronology out of that, can sometimes tolerate more abuse. But there's always a price for stupidity. Best results come when workload is balanced properly. This is why I emphasize workload impact and monitoring in all my work with my clients. And so having good programming that is both specific to your goals and body and flexible in its execution is critical for success. And understanding how a workout impacts you, what your inner sensations, as well as recovery measures, like heart rate variability, for instance, might say, can help you to adjust your training so that you learn to do just enough to stimulate, and then know when you're adequately, then know when you're adequately recovered to train hard again. We just need to make that stress, workload, rest, and adaptation process cyclical and avoid chronic elevation of load with compressed restoration. It's really that simple. So the secret to optimal competition is manipulating frequency. So when we look at competition or goal attainment, you know, that really what we're talking about is that's a peak performance. So if it's in sports, it's a competitive event, but any goal event is really the test or the ultimate challenge. And that could be a backpack trip. It could be putting in your garden in the spring, competing in some sort of tournament or race, or hitting the family reunion as the granny who went down in history for rocking the games with the kids. But here's the obvious point. You don't do that every day. You hit the high marks, and then you relax and cruise a while until the next one. And that's a natural cycle. You taper by reducing your training slightly as your goal approaches. How much volume and intensity is reduced depends on your exact conditions, and a good coach can be crucial here. This extra recovery allows for what we call supercompensation, which is exactly what it sounds like. The body stores up fuel and ability and becomes temporarily super energized. You peak for your event by taking your tapered beastly body and mind into a focus of quality, effort, and ultimately celebration. You rebound by recovering properly until it's time to rise up like a phoenix again. The body is the boss. It doesn't matter what you think might be the time to go again, in other words, to train hard, or what a rigid training schedule says. What really matters is that we listen to our bodies and learn and benefit. respect this sequence. And really, the whole point that I'm making is that if you have control over it, don't compete again until you're ready, or don't push yourself to a max peak performance. This is the model of excellence. Done properly, it works every time. You have a peak performance, you don't screw up your health, and there really are no downsides. So done this way, in other words, blending training and recovery and using competition strategically, you can have great health and phenomenal performance. Those two things absolutely can coexist. But you have to be a bit flexible in your mindset. Sometimes an upcoming event will look tasty, but you might not be ready for it. So here's some options. You can skip it, or you can even downregulate your expectations and consider it a training effort. That's a possibility for sure, but this is easier said than done. Going at less than full throttle, particularly in an organized event, is a challenge, and it takes some mental adjustment. But again, it can be done, particularly for the right person. Be careful not to override sensations of fatigue with the use of motivation and stress hormones. You know, you can just pump yourself up sometimes if you really believe that that's what you need to do. The human is blessed with this emergency go system that allows us to jack up things like cortisol and adrenaline and get through just about anything. That's absolutely great when you want to flee a saber tooth or flip a burning car. But doing this chronically puts the body in prolonged stress. The body keeps trying to restore those precious reserves, and your pushing will eventually wreck your hormonal balance. Testosterone drops, the thyroid gets effed up, the adrenals say F you, and you start to get all sorts of problems. Don't go there. Save this feature for the big day, and don't tap into it too often. It's your nitrous. Okay, respect the need for the deload. Training and goal crushing are cyclical, seasonal, and dynamic. For every high, we need a low. Embrace the art of the deload, where you purposely regress training, intensity, duration, and volume for specific periods of the year. This doesn't usually mean doing nothing, just the right amount. Again, a killer coach can make a huge difference here. Coach yourself well, and this is harder to be a self-coach athlete, but it can be done, or work with a great coach. But what if you have less control over the frequency of your peak performance efforts or competitions? So that's very true when we look at pro, as in professional, college, high school athletes, and the seasons are set. The events are often stacked up. This is where I think the experts are more right or more correct in saying that we can compromise health and longevity if we have too much frequency and too much chronicity of big efforts. Again, whether that's training or competition, but that's really the whole mojo in the mix. But if you use the smartest training, the most dedicated recovery, and you can minimize these impacts, you do have to recognize that this may be a compromise. If you're a competitive athlete, that's your job, or it's, you know, you're on a team and you're having all these events, you're going to have to downregulate other things so that your energy can be focused on training, competing, and recovering to some extent. That's just the point we all have to not deny. And that has to be done to the extent that's necessary for you. Your beast is still adaptable. And if you use your post-seasons wisely to recover and stay youthful, not necessarily younger, you can possibly get away with it, having only a few negative long-term consequences. And that's important to just accept that reality. What we do in modern sport may not be entirely consistent with our ancestral biology, but again, we can use our knowledge to do that as successfully as possible. But the thing to know is that to really hit your best performance and to have your greatest health, you have to respect and apply the principles we discuss. So always balance recovery with training and competitive efforts. Well, that's it for today, guys. Thanks so much for being with me. I always appreciate it. And if you want more information on any of these things, check out the resources that are available at thelifetimeathlete.com, or consider working with me if this is really resonating with you. One specific ask I have is if you're loving this information and you're finding it useful, please share it with one other person that you think can benefit from these messages. So simply send them a link or a screenshot or any way that you can do it, because I want to reach and help more people, and you're doing that also helps that process to move along. So once again, thank you. This is Coach Jay-Z signing off from the Lifetime Athlete, where not only do you achieve peak performance at any age, you become hard to kill.